Our sermon text this afternoon comes from Zechariah chapter 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Just as I had determined to bring disaster on you and show no pity when your ancestors angered me, says the Lord Almighty, so now I have determined to do good again to Jerusalem and Judah. Do not be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth. It is a beautiful and terrible thing, and therefore should be treated with extreme caution. The truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable. You can't handle the truth. What is truth? All these quotes, questions, and queries came from secular sources, some from fiction books and fantasy books, some from requirements of law and other expectations in the court, and still others from a Roman governor who was standing before an innocent and yet condemned man as he claims to be God, and yet the crowd outside his judgment hall shouts for his condemnation. What is it about the concept of truth that fills mankind with such trepidation, such pause, such fear? After all, this question from the Roman governor has echoed down to us even today and has filled the hearts and minds of both simpleton and philosopher alike. So today we live in what's called a postmodern, or depending on who you ask, a post-truth world. And the argument, and frankly the hope behind it, goes like this. Since each person's experience is different, since each story comes from a different perspective, and since each data point can be an outlier, who's to say that such a silly idea of absolute truth exists? Because if it does, well then, how are we going to judge it? How are we going to say this is true and that is true if all reality is just subjective? And you may be saying to yourself, well, that's a silly way to live in a world without absolute truth. I mean, how do you operate in that? It's very flimsy and fluid. There's no structure and stability. Well, to see it through their perspective, instead of focusing on the difficulties of living in a post-truth world, let's instead look at the potential benefits. If there's no such thing as absolute truth, then you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. You can identify however you want. And if someone tries to critique you or to say that what you're doing is not right, what's their basis? You can be whatever your mind and your heart want to be, and no one can stop you. Liberating? Maybe. But let's not be ignorant of the true emotion behind this determination for autonomy and independence. The emotion is terror. Because rather than focusing on the difficulty of living in a post-truth world or the benefits of living in a post-truth world, let's instead really wrestle with what it means if there is truly absolute truth. Because if there is absolute truth, then it must be unwavering, unrelenting, unyielding. If you push against it, it'll push back. If you argue against it, you'll be proven the fool. And if you violate its standards, your condemnation is certain. But the questions go on. If there's absolute truth, what or whom defines what it is? And if you find yourself on the wrong side of the absolute truth giver, what hope do you have? In this way, the concept of absolute truth is nightmare fuel for the minds and the hearts of sinful men. Because if there is absolute truth, truth number one is that it's not defined by me. It's defined by someone bigger, stronger, grander, and wiser. A God-like someone. And if that thought doesn't terrify you, it should. What if the truth is really true? What if there really is a God? And what if this God really is the absolute truth giver? And what if this absolute truth giver really is a holy, righteous, just, and perfect God? Have you ever considered what that means for us? If there is absolute truth, then those little moments in your life that pricked your conscience were not just silly mistakes or minor errors, but direct violations against the ultimate truth giver's law. If there is a thing such as absolute truth, then those moments in your past you're glad you can lock away in your mind and no one else can see them. They're not just foggy memories. They happened, and you did them, and God saw them, and God remembers them, and it invoked God's anger. If there is such a thing as absolute truth, then when we read in Zechariah 8 about the determined disaster meant for the people of Judah, given without pity, well, this same determined disaster is meant for anyone and everyone who dares to break the truth giver's law through their lies, abuses, and their sins. Maybe they were on to something, those secular speakers at the start of the sermon. Maybe the truth really is something that needs to be feared, something that should be handled with caution, that we can't handle and therefore should be questioned. But here's where the first line of the sermon is even more important. We need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Is the law of God, the part of God's word that shows our sin, is that absolutely true? Yes, it is. But it's not the whole truth. Go back to Zechariah 8 and keep reading. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Just as I had determined to bring disaster on you and show no pity when your ancestors angered me, says the Lord Almighty, so now I have determined to do good again to Jerusalem and Judah. Yes, the absolute truth includes wrath and judgment over sin and rebellion. And yet, did you catch the other determination here? A determination to do us good. And this is what the secular speakers missed. Pontius Pilate's question of what is truth was not invoked by some philosophical meandering. No, it came about because the Word of God made flesh, standing before him, said these words: everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And so what has this Word of God made flesh said that's worth listening to? Well, let's go back earlier, just a couple hours earlier in the timeline of Jesus' passion, where he says this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There it is. The whole truth. The two sides of absolute truth. No one can stand in God's presence. No sinner can approach God and live except through him. Except through this Jesus of Nazareth, who, as he stood before the court, before the Sanhedrin, and was charged to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, was the only one in that courtroom speaking as the Father speaks. The rest of them were spewing sludge-like lies open out of their open-graved mouths. And yet, even in this courtroom of lies, the Word of God made flesh stayed true and proclaimed the absolute truth. He hadn't violated God's law. He hadn't invoked God's wrath. He hadn't committed any crime. And yet he was on the stand. And yet he stood there and endured the contempt and the shame, the betrayal and the ridicule. What if this is true? What if there really was a Jesus who really stood before a mockery of a court, who really stood there and endured this shame and rebuke? What if this Jesus is the absolute truth giver? Have you ever considered what that means? What it means to have a God who defines what truth is, who is so determined to save you that he would sacrifice his own son? If this Jesus is the absolute truth, then those direct violations we had committed against the holy God's law, they don't stain our record. If this Jesus is the absolute truth, those moments you hide in your mind and are glad that no one else can see, those things that God saw and remembers, he remembers no more. And if this Jesus is the absolute truth, then the good determined for the nation of Judah by the Lord himself is the same good determined for you. You who trust in this Jesus who stood before the court. Though terror over the absolute truth might overshadow the secularist perspective, those who trust in this Jesus who stands on trial would do well to keep reading Zechariah 8. After the determination for the wrath and the determination for the good, God says these words: "Do not be afraid." That's what God's absolute truth gives you. A reason to not be afraid. Because though our sin be true, God's grace is true all the more. Though our failures be true, Jesus' victory is true all the more. And though God's determined wrath for sin and judgment for evil be true, God's determined good through his Son is true all the more. Which brings us back to the courtroom, back to the judgment hall, back to the whipping post, back to the cross-laden road and the place of the skull. There we see God's absolute truth realized before our very eyes. God's wrath and God's love in one man, one God-man lifted up. And as he dies, the Word of God made flesh shouts one last absolute truth: "It is finished." Could this be true? Could this really be it? Is it done? Are we free? Yes. Your suffering is over. The truth has set you free indeed. Free in every sense of the word. Your sin? Gone. God's wrath appeased. Jesus' mission accomplished. Your salvation guaranteed. But it extends even beyond that. It's not just the spiritual chains that are loosed. It's even the physical ones. The ones that bind you every single day. You are free to fight. You are free to say no. Sin isn't the truth. It doesn't tell the truth, nor the whole truth, and it wants you to believe anything but the truth. But with trust in this Jesus, as he stands there, the truth realized in that courtroom, you can flee from the tricks of Satan and the lies of the devil and pursue that which God commands, because you are no longer chained by fear. For you see, fear flees to sin, but trust flees to God. Flee to God. Leave behind your sin. Flee to the truth. Leave behind the lies. After all, this is what God has given you. And what God has given you is good. Even the law which shows our sins? Yes. But especially the gospel that shows our Savior all the more. This is the absolute truth, brothers and sisters. Jesus lifted up for you. This is the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Amen.